Well, I want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. If you are a guest, a first-time guest especially, thank you for joining in our celebration. We are celebrating our anniversary. We're celebrating our grand reopening of our facility. This is a great day to recognize God's goodness in our life. One of the things that we believe here at Crossline is that every person is on a spiritual journey. And wherever you may be in your journey, God wants to meet you even today, and he wants you to take the next step. And that next step is always into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Last week, we celebrated Easter, and I want to let you know, in case you didn't, that Jesus is still alive. I say that because many of us are kind of like Bill Murray in the movie Groundhog Day. We understand that we celebrate Easter once a year and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but somehow we live as if he goes back into the tomb and we wait for the next year to celebrate his resurrection all over again. When the Bible is a message that Jesus Christ is alive today, tomorrow, and for the rest of eternity. And because Jesus Christ is alive, he wants to transform our lives. And the Bible tells us how we ought to feel and what we ought to do because we serve a risen Savior. I want to look at two passages of Scripture and just make some brief observations this morning on how the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only last week, but today and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives, should continue to change our lives. You see, it says in Colossians chapter 2 that just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Acts chapter 1 says this, "In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." In John chapter 20, recording that very first resurrection appearance to his followers, it says this, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he'd said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven.' Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.' And Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And then Jesus told him, 'Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" See, Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive today, and that makes a difference. And when Jesus appeared to his followers, he wanted to empower them with the reality of his resurrection. There's five takeaways, five brief observations that I want to make about the fact that Jesus is still alive today. Here is the first one. The resurrected Jesus wants us to know that he's alive. He wants us to know it. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to believe that. You see, for a period of 40 days after his crucifixion, Jesus appeared to his followers. And during that 40-day period, he gave them, it says in Acts chapter 1, many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus wanted his followers to be firmly entrenched with the truth that they served a resurrected Savior. When Jesus appeared to Thomas, who was doubting, he said, "Check out my hands, check out my side. Don't be doubting, be believing." Jesus wants every one of his followers to absolutely know with conviction that he's alive. We serve a resurrected Savior, not just a Savior who resurrects every Easter, but a Savior who was resurrected once and continues to be the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. And so because Jesus is alive, let's seek Him every day. Because Jesus is alive, let's surrender our lives to Him every day. Because Jesus is alive, let's reaffirm our commitment to Him every day. As Colossians 2 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, keep living in Him. Here's a second observation. The resurrected Jesus wants to give us peace. The resurrected Jesus wants to give us peace. In John's account, three times Jesus appears to His followers and says, peace be with you. Now, this is more than just an ancient Middle Eastern greeting. Jesus is speaking into the life situation of these followers. They were men whose hopes had been dashed. They expected a Messiah who would liberate them, and then He was nailed to the cross. And then they heard that He'd been raised from the dead, and then He miraculously appears to them as having been raised from the dead. You can count on the fact that they were filled with fear and with confusion and with questions about their future. And Jesus speaks into their life situation and says, peace be with you. Three times. Three times. You don't have to be the sharpest Bible student in the room to recognize that if Jesus repeats something three times, He means what He says. Jesus wants us to have peace in our fears, peace in our challenges, peace in our questions. Jesus wants us to have peace. The only way we can have peace is through an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul even said to people who were Christ's followers, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let all your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What Jesus wants for you right now, even in this moment, whatever you're going through, is peace. His peace. And because He's alive, you can have the peace of Jesus Christ. Here's a third observation. The resurrected Jesus wants to take away our doubts and answer our pressing questions. He wants to take away our doubts and answer our pressing questions. I so appreciate the scriptures because they record the real life experiences, fears, struggles, victories, encounters of people with God. And what this passage records in John chapter 20 is that Jesus appears to His followers, but Thomas isn't in that gathering. And so even though Thomas had heard Jesus' repeated statements that He was going to be raised from the dead, and even though Thomas was confronted with the eyewitness testimony of all of his friends that the resurrected Jesus actually appeared to him, he was still doubting. In fact, his doubts were so strong, he said, unless I personally see Him, unless I actually check out where the nails and the spear pierced His body, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus, rather than being angered at that doubt, rather than being just kind of dispassionate about that doubt, Jesus actually appears specifically for Thomas and says, put your finger where the nails pierced my hand. Put your hand where the spear pierced my side. Be not doubting, be believing. This morning, it would be very normal for many of us here to have doubts. Maybe you have doubts because this is the first time you've been to church in a long time, or maybe the first time ever. Or maybe you have doubts because life has just kind of beat you up and beat you away from God. Or maybe you have doubts because you look at the Bible and you try to figure it all out and understand all the miracles and all the deep questions, and it just seems beyond your comprehension, and you just go, I'm not sure. You know what Jesus says? Be not doubting, be believing. But the only way you can have those doubts translated into convictions is you've got to meet the resurrected Christ. See, if doubt is causing you to run from God, you'll never overcome your doubts. But if you take your doubts and you run to God, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, will change those doubts, not only into beliefs, but into convictions. Life-changing convictions. The resurrected Jesus wants to take away our doubts, and he wants to answer our most pressing questions. And so we need to run to him. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, if anyone is weary, if anyone is heavy laden, if anyone is just stressed out by their doubts, let him come to me and find rest. Jesus says, take my yoke upon yourself. You will find rest for your soul. Here's a fourth observation. We're just looking at the fact that Jesus is alive and how it makes a difference in our lives right now. The resurrected Jesus wants us to live for the kingdom of God. The resurrected Jesus wants us to live for the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, we're told that for 40 days, Jesus is appearing to his followers. He's giving them many convincing proofs that he's alive. And it says, and he was teaching them about the kingdom of God. For 40 days, Jesus is teaching them about the kingdom of God. Now, you have to put this in a frame of reference. God, in his infinite mind, had a plan and purpose for this world. At the right time, he sent Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin. Jesus, the unique God-man. Jesus lived a perfect, holy life. Jesus picked 12 followers who would be the human instruments to take his message to the very ends of the earth. For 3 years, they followed him. They saw him. They heard his teaching. They saw him crucified. Now Jesus is raised from the dead, and for 40 days, he's got the opportunity to give them a pregame talk. Because at the end of the 40 days, Jesus ascended back to heaven. And so what does Jesus talk about during those 40 days? The kingdom of God. You think the kingdom of God is important? You bet it's important. In fact, if you were able to go back, which any of us could do, there you could just get a concordance, which is like a Bible dictionary that tells you how words and terms are used in the Bible. You can go online, use BibleGateway.com, and type in kingdom, and then just find out how many times it's used in the Gospels. You will discover over 172 references to the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the one concept that Jesus spoke about more than any other concept. Just let that sink in a little bit. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than he did about love. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than he did about heaven and hell. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than he did about discipleship. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than he did about prayer. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than he did about money. Jesus taught more about the kingdom than any other topic. It is the most emphasized message in the teaching of Jesus. And here he is in this 40-day period after his crucifixion, before his ascension, teaching about the kingdom, what Jesus wants us to understand, because he's a resurrected Savior. What he wants us to understand is that we're to live for the kingdom. That's why Jesus said in the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. What I would suggest for every one of us is that we figure out what Jesus means when he talks about the kingdom. I think that would be a great Bible study for every one of us, just to look through the Gospels every time Jesus talked about the kingdom, every parable and story that Jesus gave about the kingdom. And we seek first the kingdom of God in our lives. Here's a fifth and final observation based on the reality that Jesus Christ is still alive. The resurrected Jesus wants to empower us to join him in mission. The resurrected Jesus wants to empower us to join him in mission. Jesus said in John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. In other words, just as God the Father in the holy councils of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in eternity determined a plan, a space, a purpose for humankind, and that Jesus would be the only Savior, and that Jesus would live a holy life, that Jesus would serve people and do miracles and love people and engage with compassion, the hurting and the broken. Just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus said, I'm sending you. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been sent by Jesus. Wow. Just if you think about what that could mean, then you probably feel a little inadequate. And that's a good feeling. That's why the Apostle Paul said this. I mean, he's the greatest Christian who ever lived. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not that I'm adequate in myself to consider anything as coming from myself, but my adequacy comes from God, who's made me adequate as a servant of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, because the letter, that kills, but the Spirit, he gives life. And what do we see here in John chapter 20? Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And then it says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then it says, wherever you proclaim forgiveness in my name, people will be forgiven. See, the sequence of the expressions make it very clear. Jesus sends his followers. He empowers his followers with the Holy Spirit. And what do his followers do? They go tell other people about Jesus and the forgiveness that's available in the gospel. And how do they do it? In the very power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus breathes on him. Every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ has received the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. We've been born again by the Spirit. And what Jesus says is, allow the Holy Spirit to empower your life to fulfill his purpose in your life, which is to lead you on mission. The first scripture that I read from Acts chapter 1, it continues in Acts chapter 1. It says, after it says for 40 days, he taught them about the kingdom of God. And it says on one occasion, he taught them that just as John baptized with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then his disciples said, Lord, is it this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But this is what I want you to know. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to Orange County, to Lake Forest, to Ladera Ranch, to San Clemente, to Laguna Beach, to Dove Canyon, to Cota de Casa, to Mission Viejo, to South Irvine, to Lake Forest. You'll be my witnesses to the remotest parts of the earth. You see, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, he has breathed his Spirit upon us when we were born again, and we put our faith in him. And he sent us, and he said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. See, I think we ought to just read the Gospels and see, how did Jesus deal with people? How did Jesus show God's love to people? How did Jesus serve people? How did Jesus make God known to people? Because that's what we're to do. Because we're sent just like Jesus has been sent. Today, we're going to celebrate the fact that we have some people who understand that the resurrected Jesus Christ is still alive. They've put their faith in Jesus, and they want to go public. And the Bible says the way we go public as followers of Jesus Christ is through baptism. Because baptism is a symbol of the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a symbol that we died to our old life, that we've been raised to a new life in Jesus Christ. And part of being a follower of Jesus Christ is not keeping that to yourself, but letting your light shine before men, that others see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Because the resurrected Jesus Christ says, come join me in mission. And we join him when we go public as his followers. And so we're going to invite our worship team to come back up here. We're going to sing a song of resurrection. I'm going to go put my holy baptism attire on. And then we're going to come out and we are going to celebrate the fact that people are proclaiming their new life in Christ. You know, Pastor Greg said earlier You maybe didn't come here today expecting to be baptized. You maybe didn't come here today expecting to be challenged with the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. But the greatest gift that has ever been given is being made available to you. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you're here this morning and something is just beating inside of your chest, and it's not just your heart, it's your sense that this is true and that you want that for yourself, say yes to Jesus Christ and go public. Be baptized. We've got towels here. It's okay to walk around wet because you'll walk around as a brand new person in Jesus Christ. So if I could just have everybody stand right now. Everyone just stand. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to walk and get ready to participate in our baptisms. But this is an invitation for you. If you're here and you're ready to be baptized and you know that, you've already planned on it, I want you to come right up here, over to my right, up here to the corner. But if you're here and you didn't even expect it, it's your invitation. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move over this entire gathering right now. Call out anyone and everyone to say yes to Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here who today wants to the very first time believe in Jesus, I pray that they would say, yes, Jesus, forgive my sins, come into my heart and be my Savior. I pray for everybody who wants to be baptized to say, yeah, I want to follow you and I want to confess you before men that I'm a follower of Jesus. I pray that they'd come forward and be baptized. God, may we celebrate the gift of eternal life, the gift of abundant life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.